What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and to my left, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
Wearing a $100 Weezer t-shirt. I don't know who's in charge of their merch, but I think his name is Gene Simmons. Like, this is $100 for this shirt.
That's because he's got all the nice stitching on the sides. And
what asshole would buy that?
We have a guest, a very special guest in the house joining us. You may have seen him in HBO Max's, or is it just Max now? Max's American Gigolo or Rap Shit. Second season's coming out. He's in that. You've seen new rock stars on YouTube. He's also the host of the BBC Club and the Mad Titan podcast. Please welcome actor, comedian, wrestler.
Yes.
Mr. Jay Washington.
I am happy to be here. You know who the asshole that would pay for the $100 shirt, the asshole wearing it.
Look at this guy.
Well, let me ask you a question about American Gigolo.
Go ahead.
Because that was one of my favorite movies growing up. Were you kind of the Bill Duke character from the movie?
No. So my character in the show was Luther. Luther Randall. He was a street dude that ended up running a restaurant legit and gave Julian, played by John Barenthal, gave him a regular job so he didn't go back to hoeing. But he still went back to hoeing by the end of the season and the series, because we only got one season of the show, because that's what happens when the star of the show goes back to being the Punisher. So you can't be mad at that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Was the plan to do multiple seasons?
Yeah. Plan was for it to keep going. It was weird because, like, critics had a problem with it, but fans loved it. And so because of the fan response, they would have kept going. Now, granted, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes shit we went through with showrunners, et cetera, getting the show, the first season off the ground. But it would have kept going as long as possible. But, again, that Marvel money comes through, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, well, there's Marvel, and there's also the Bear money. That's
the Bear money.
That's coming.
Let me tell you what's hilarious about that. My first day shooting, I shot back in February of 2022. My first day on set with John, because it was only supposed to be one day when I originally shot, the dude from The Bear, who was also Micro in Punisher, he comes on set. He was like, he was telling them, I'm over here, and like, I'm doing this show in Chicago. Blah, 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 blah. You should probably come out. They're good friends in real life. So that's how John ended up getting on The Bear.
Oh, wow.
Because of that. So it's always interesting when you see how TV and film connections work, how it'll open a door to something else.
Yeah. Were you a fan of the movie, or had you ever even seen
it? I'd never seen the movie. American, like, it was like the 80s or something like that. I never saw it. So it was just like, I knew it was picking up. The one thing I knew about the show was we were literally picking up from the movie. It was him, you know, Jonathan Barenthal was taking over Richard Gere's character. He was getting out of jail, and it was his life after. But there was so much stuff they could have done, you know, but it happens. It's this industry.
It is what it is, man. I'm curious about the wrestling part of your
bio. Yeah, man. My life, 23 years stepping through those ropes. I would have said I was retired last year, but I just did a show last week, a charity show for my homeboy Sean Black, and I felt good relacing up the boots. You know, it's always been a part of my life. I started in Chicago, where I'm from. Shouts out to Windy City Pro Wrestling. Shouts out to everybody out there. Windy City Pro is like if you get a family tree, a genealogy family tree of pro wrestling out of Chicago, Windy City is pretty much at the bottom. Everybody somehow, some way came from there and came through there. You know, I know a bunch of people now who are in the WWE, AEW, lifelong friends who are over in NWA, everything, and all of us just talking about our lives and careers now and how everything has changed and how everything has evolved. It's just so dope. You know, when I decided to step away for a minute, I was like, cool, I got comedy going. I'm getting booked at that. Acting's going well. I got the kids. I'm good. But when I decided to put my boots back on the first time about 5-6 years ago, right before COVID, I remember getting text messages from homies that are currently in the WWE. It was like, what are you doing? I was like, yo, I might be getting back in. They were like, you were out. I was like, but y'all getting paid. You were out. You know, and so it's still, you know, my body still feels good. I don't hurt. You know, a lot of people are like, yo, I'm picking pain pills, I'm ice bathing every day. I'm good because I'm not doing it as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
But you would have thought me stepping back in the ring last week for the first time since October, I would have felt terrible, but I don't. You know, I feel great about it, man.
You're working out. I see your Instagram posts.
Man, I'm in the gym 6 days a week. I'm trying to catch up to Earl. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to do these sexy flexi.
I think you're already there, bro.
I'm trying to get these sexy flexi shirt off on stage.
Yeah, but you're like Mark Henry. I'm like, you know, Spike Dudley.
That's what I do.
Oh my God. We rewatched that the compilation of Spike Dudley's like bumps. My
unbelievable.
Goodness.
He's a good I actually did a show with him once. And he was working with one of my buddies, and of course, you know, we were in a stable with my buddy he was working, and he was telling me and my tag partner, Willie Richardson, I want y'all to beat the shit out of me. And I was like, first of all, I was like, hey, man, listen. That's all right. You tell me to beat the shit out of you. Yeah. I'm happy you say that. But it's like when you realize how small he is and how what you see on TV, how he flies, is like if you throw him, he flies.
Yeah.
And he's just cool with it all.
I mean, granted,
he was cool because he ain't wrestling no more, but like.
And he's still fine, by the way.
Still perfectly fine.
I think he did an interview with Chris Van Vliet, and he was just like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't feel anything. It's like, what?
Because like when I see
Darby. I've seen you die numerous times.
Oh, I just watched Sid give him a power bomb.
Yes.
The freaking, like, the whip.
The whip down. Yeah, the slap in his man's body just went whap. And you're like, yo.
Sid's known for. Let's just say being stiff.
Yes.
Not really caring about his opponent. And he actually performed a power bomb on him.
Yeah, he's
part of that old school, you know, Mid-South, Southern wrestlers who are like, look, this what you want to do, this business. We're like, hey, bro, I want to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Right.
A little bit longer.
A little bit longer. You're trying to take people out night one.
Sid just wanted to play softball and
softball and beat people.
So if you were to get back into it full time, I mean, do you think you see yourself more as a AEW, or would you want to get into WWE?
If I could get an AEW, and I talk shit about AEW every now and then because you want a company to be better. Just let me make sure I preface that for people who know, yo, Jay always talking about AEW, blah, blah, blah. I'd want to be a mouthpiece over there because I don't think they have good ones for the wrestlers, like a good manager. Don't get me wrong. I'd do the same thing if I could get WWE. I want to be a mouthpiece because also I'm older. I'd have more longevity as a manager, as a mouthpiece in the back, than I would trying to be an active performer.
Yeah,
people forget about. We always a lot of guys and girls just think about being in the ring, which of course you want to perform on that level. But if you're smart enough and know how to use your mouth and know how to make this happen, Paul Heyman is one of the greatest mouthpieces ever.
Yep.
Granted, yes, he made a whole company, was executive producer of SmackDown for so long, producer of Raw, but now on the mic for Roman Reigns, who he don't even really have to talk no more.
Yeah.
Remember what he did for Lesnar. So I say all that to say is I would love to go to AEW because they should have had mouthpieces for certain talent to get them over. But I think the mouthpiece has to know how not to just be a wrestler. Because, right. Like, some just talk like, you know, my guy's going to beat your ass. Like, yo, have a regular conversation and be able just to translate that to not to the crowd, but through these cameras.
Right.
You people know? At, and people I think at home. Being a stand-up has helped that a lot.
Yeah, the people at home is important. And you know, it's good because you can still take a few bumps here and there.
Yeah, take a few. You know, I'm not going to take a sting bump.
Yeah.
None of those.
I don't think, yeah. I don't.
As an older man, when he went up those stairs, I'm like, he's not going to do it. And then I thought, oh, my God, he's going to do it.
And do you think he's sitting here trying to prove to Vince he still could have kept going?
Maybe. Part of it.
That's what it feels like to me. Like, he's just trying to – like, it isn't just to say for the young guys. It's because, remember, Vince was like, all right, well, you're done.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think – I mean, that still angers me, that how he was brought in, job to Triple H, and then the next night he's in a – off-air segment of Monday Night Raw with Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
Like, that's Barry City.
Yeah.
But I don't know if... I mean, he must be okay in these stunts. I can't imagine. But I knew when they were setting it up, like, oh, that's too far, even maybe for Darby, let alone Sting.
He's not okaying them. He's requesting them.
He
thanked Tony Khan after the cameras went off, like, thank you for letting me do that. I was like, what?
Because here's the thing, too, I've heard a lot. Like, there aren't, like... Who Tony Khan is the guy you talk to,
yeah.
Right? You can have it because they're starting to have producers and agents in the back at AEW to help with the matches. But even if your producer or agent says no, you're like, hold on 1 second. Boss, can I talk to you? And then you're going straight to Tony, and Tony is, he's a fan of Sting.
Right.
So Sting wants to do this on my show.
Oh, yeah.
Go have fun. Do it.
Yeah, man. All right, well. Now that I know your background with wrestling, I mean, you're. I know you mentioned you talk trash on AEW.
Yeah, I've done it. You know, like I said, I've done it because if you're going to call yourself the second biggest company out there, granted, Impact had chances a while ago. We don't know how it's still around. Look, God bless y'all and your money. But AEW, you want better for it. Yeah. You want better. You want more. Because I want all the guys and girls to be able to flourish on the same level of a WWE. It doesn't have to be the same type of crowd, but you want this. Yeah, them going to Wembley is going to be great. I want them to have this global international exposure. So as somebody who loves the business, like, yo, be fucking better.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like what I say last week about Prince Nana, like I would love, like you kill it and hit that guy's, you know, he's basically Brian Cage.
Yeah.
Big Bill's manager, but he adds nothing. Like, I'm sure he's a great guy.
Nana's fucking phenomenal. When he was in ROH, Nana was amazing.
Yeah, he's not doing anything over here, though.
He's not doing anything. Like I said, those are people who, on the stick, know what to do. They know how to do it. Just let them run with it.
Yep, Stokely is another one, and they've moved him over to ROH, too,
they
right?
They moved him over to ROH. Look, I ain't saying you sound kind of racist, but you moved all the blacks to ROH, Tony. You moved all the darker skin. You got about two people as dark skin, and one of them is Hobbs, okay? And he count for about two.
That's true.
No wonder I like AEW better now.
Yeah. Earl was like, they keep my black quota down. I've been waiting on it.
This is out of control.
I'm not paying for Honor Club. Are you kidding me?
Honor sucks.
Earl was around here like, Bobby Lashley, then Big E. What are you guys doing?
Well, I'm going to start the news with a little bit of WWE first instead of going to AEW. We'll get to it. But, you know, I want to wake up John. He's here. John Sosis.
What up?
Yeah. Let's talk about the Bloodline segment right off the top. I know Earl was like, not much happened this week in wrestling. I'm like, you don't watch WWE.
I don't. I'm more AEW guy.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah,
I might be a little quiet.
No, but I'm wearing the shirt in honor of, man, what a segment to kick off SmackDown with the Tribal Court. It went on a little long. Mm-hmm. I'll give them that. Actually, the part that went on long for me was the beatdown. The beatdown started feeling like the crowd was starting to cool off because it was hot, right? You know, all the conversation was hot.
Right.
We had, you know, Jay and Jimmy call out Tribal Chief, show a little video package of all the abuse over the years for every single member, including a segment, which apparently I forgot, where the Usos were backstage with Roman, and he goes, don't worry about it, Jimmy. And he's like, I'm Jay.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't matter.
You don't remember that one?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember him doing it. And the problem was, we know they're twins. They're fraternal twins. But this ain't like when the Usos first got in here looking alike. Both are two completely different people.
Yeah, it was. I guess maybe at the time I saw it and just kind of thought of it as a rib or something, like a little joke. I didn't see the abuse part of it until now when it's all compiled. I'm like, oh wow, beating up. I even forgot that he Superman punched Heyman. Like, there's so many twists and turns in this story that I had forgotten that it had happened. Like, how did Heyman even get back into Goodwill? I mean, I guess it was a swerve. I don't even remember anymore.
Heyman set up Lesnar for him.
Right.
Heyman set up Lesnar, which is like, okay, bro, you do realize if this dude come back around, he's going to murder you.
He'd probably do it, though. Yeah, you can give me an F5, Brock. I'm good with that.
I mean, look, Brock is going to protect the hell out of Paul Heyman. And Brock is also having so much fun right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Cowboy Brock, he's in his natural element.
He's in a Cowboy Brock? He's like, look, I just get to wear these jeans, this vest, let's go.
I don't like that hairstyle, though.
That's the only part of Brock I don't like, because it keeps getting longer and longer.
It looks ridiculous. I wouldn't tell him that.
But he can't shave his head. I don't think he can shave it off, though. It'll look a little too racist.
Yeah, Brock go full bald head, it's going to be a brawl.
Oh, dude, that'd be my favorite character of all time. An active skinhead as your champion.
Oh, boy.
He had a couple of them in the WWE.
For sure.
Behind the scenes.
But after the video segment, Roman came out and said, you know, you think I wanted to do this? Like, that's not who I am. I had to do that to, you know, for you guys. And he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't need it. I have five kids. Took off the lay, put it on Jay, took off the belt, threw it on the ground, and got down on one knee. And for 1 second, I was like, holy shit. That's a creative way of doing the transition. Like, hey, you know what? I'm done. Fuck it. You guys do this. Mm-hmm. And he leaves. But of course, the Tribal Chief, low blow on Jay. It was all a ruse. Then they beat the shit out of Jimmy, made Jay watched. Jimmy got sent off to the hospital. And then for some reason, they continued with the show when they should have done the final segment, I think, during that time.
Everything should have happened. They should have waited. Yeah, we're going to go to commercial. We'll be right back. Like, no.
Yeah.
End it.
Later, I mean, I get we needed the moment for Jimmy to go to the hospital or whatever, but Jay makes his way back at the end of the show and calls out Roman for a match at SummerSlam. Says, you took Jimmy from me, and now I'm the judge, the jury, and the executioner, all this shit. So we're getting Jimmy, or I'm sorry, we're getting Jay. See, it's happening to me.
Yeah.
We're getting Jay and Roman at SummerSlam.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that goes back to the Attitude Era when the big stars got multiple segments. I always think about how many segments the Stone Cold NWO feud got, where like the first segment they come out and talk shit. Second segment, you see Scott Hall tied up in the back,
yep,
and like the freezer. Like, you need to give your stars multiple segments. And we were talking about this earlier. We could get to the next topic. The guy who probably made out best because that segment, they had two long segments.
Yeah.
LA Knight.
Yeah.
Number three in merch sales in the whole company alongside Roman and Stone Cold. And who else was it? The Rock, maybe?
Probably.
It's insane.
I think it was Hornswoggle.
or Spike Dudley.
The aforementioned.
Yeah.
I did buy an LA Knight shirt.
Oh, there we go.
WWE.
Did you buy the Yale one or the LA Knight one?
The LA, the black.
All right. I'm going to buy the Yale one then so I don't have the same.
See, I'm not racist. I bought a black shirt.
But yeah, dude.
You're wearing black pants, so clearly he's not racist, right?
Well, remember.
Oh, Lord, here you go to wear.
Jay did my podcast.
Yep.
I had on a Kamala shirt.
I remember that one. Oh, my God.
And this shirt is still available, by the way. And it was the Jungle Book. It started off with like some smaller ethnicities. And then the last person was Kamala. And I said, Jay, you're a black friend of mine. Can I wear this shirt in public? And you were like, take that shirt off right now.
Take it off right now. You're fucking public. Take it off in front of me. I don't want
to. So I gave it to a white homeless guy, so he's got to deal with that.
He's got to deal with all this shit on sitting on Fountain Boulevard. Like, why are you trying to beat the shit up?
This guy gave me this shirt. It was a great shirt.
Man, yeah. I mean, I would like to see that shirt. I wonder if they still sell it on like
Redbubble. Oh, yeah, it's still for sale. It's still on ProWrestlingTees.com.
Yo, Pro Wrestling Tees has some of the wildest fucking, look, and I love the guys that run it, but they got some of the wildest, because I know them personally, but they got some of the wildest fucking shirts on it. You're like, bro, do you really want that?
You know them personally. Maybe we can help our buddy Earl out here.
You got some issues?
Some defective shirts.
Oh, shirts.
Numerous shirts.
What about their other Kamala shirt that's got him, like, his classic, you know?
Yeah.
It says straight out of Compton.
Please don't do that face. Do that face again.
Jesus Christ, though.
What the fuck is that?
We don't have to worry about getting canceled.
Yeah. Episode 58 is the last episode.
Well, it was fun. It brought the black guy in, and he ended the show.
I almost broke kayfabe there for a second. Some surprises coming for everyone. Okay. No, but they've got the one with Britt Baker with the black eye, which they were out of my size.
Britt Baker with a black guy?
She got a black eye on it.
Oh, black eye.
Oh, with a black guy? Oh, she probably won't do that.
I wouldn't buy that shirt.
You wouldn't? That'd be a special Brazzers edition.
the black eye shirt's weird. I mean, yeah, how do you explain that to a normal person that doesn't watch wrestling?
I think, but you know, it was, it almost felt, if this was the Attitude Era, that would have sold perfectly.
Maybe, yeah.
Let's just be real. We were bombing an 81-year-old woman off of a stage.
That's true.
So, yeah, that shirt would have sold. But now it's like, we going to sit here and put a... Because if you don't tell nobody, it's just a domestic violence victim on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, she also gave birth to a hand.
This is true by a black man.
That's my favorite.
Jesus.
Wait, but also just so now that LA, here comes the bad with the good. LA Knight blowing the fuck up. All these old videos of him coming back from back in the day are popping up on Twitter. And I've seen some fucking doozies of like him leaving his wife for this hot girl, like some actors playing The Rock. It is the most bizarre shit I've ever seen.
All the old Eli Drake videos, everything with him with fucking Moxie when they were both in Cincinnati together. People just start finding shit.
Like, the Triple H workout video.
That was the one. I was like, what the fuck? who the fuck started searching just like anything that has his face on it? Let me find
yeah. But yeah, here's how you know that they're investing in him. I don't know if they're going to give him the world title, but they're investing in him because the dark segments, the dark matches, that's to test out if you're going to turn someone heel, face.
Yep.
And they don't post that shit. And they posted
they
that
post
shit.
The one they just did at MSG.
Yeah.
The one they just did at MSG with him with Hit Row.
Yeah.
They never post that
shit.
They
didn't pipe in booze. Hit Row were the heel. He came out, beat the shit out of them, and they don't post that shit.
They don't. Yeah. They barely post. Unless it's like an interview to push the story.
Yeah.
But what happened in the ring, they was like, no, you finna get all 2 minutes and 38 seconds of this.
Yep. 3 million views already on Twitter.
Yeah, there's been some rumors floating around that there's a particular WWE superstar that's going to get a Stone Cold rub soon, and I have a feeling it's him.
Well, I hope if it's not him, it's Bray Wyatt.
I don't think he needs it. I think Grayson's getting that Stone Cold rub.
Grayson for sure is getting that. I think Grayson's getting the rub for sure.
Well, he's got Edge already now.
Now he's got Cena.
Cena putting him over.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a feeling Vince is going to shovel in the, let's get him to chant yeah and him to chant what back and forth for 30 minutes, and then that'll be great, right?
But the problem is, like, because you know everybody's going to bring up which world title. You know he's not getting WWE title because we already know who that's going to.
Yeah.
Undisputed is going to Cody. They're saving that. It's like, how do you maneuver him around to Raw to get him to that world heavyweight title?
It's got
to
be Royal Rumble, but they got to give him something in the meantime.
They got
to
do something.
But I hope he's not getting Intercontinental. That's just not happening.
No, secondary title is not.
So the only option is U.S. title right now.
And Austin Theory, either he hurt or he did something.
Or Austin's getting the rub from Stone Cold, which didn't he already
get? I mean, Austin Theory's rub is already solidified. They gave him that shit with WrestleMania.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
Who he is he's solid.
Yeah.
He's solid in the company no matter what. You know, but it's like some people don't need a secondary title. He is, at this point, a world title person. Like, because it feels like if you give him a secondary title, it almost belittles the pop that he's gotten. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, everybody wants to see him get this world title. There's nothing wrong with holding the Intercontinental. There's nothing wrong with holding the U.S. title. But it feels like if you give it to LA Knight, it's just like, all right, y'all trying to placate for some shit.
Can I suggest something crazy?
Go ahead.
The WWE doesn't. I mean, you have Roman with the three titles. They don't really have a belt collector. I think you make LA Knight the belt collector. You have him going collecting belts left, right, and sideways. You give him U.S. You give him a tag, but tag title with somebody that he shouldn't be paired with. That
Omos.
He's just carrying the team. you make him a belt collector because they're not bringing in Zack Ryder. Like
fuck that. Send him down to NXT. Let him take one of them titles.
Who LA Knight?
LA Knight.
That would be pretty fun.
Send him down. If you're gonna have him collect like the
just
collect a bunch of them. Because I mean, we're now focusing a lot of NXT titles on the main brands. We just unified the women's titles because they were like, we don't care about the chicks down there no more. We brought them all up.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, Wes Lee is down there. He doesn't have to have LA Knight is a regular worker. He doesn't have to do all these flashy spots and everything. So him and Wes Lee could have a good match. Him versus Carmelo Hayes, the promos alone.
Who?
LA Knight versus Carmelo Hayes.
Well, that's why I hated that they wasted LA Knight's big feud on, what's his name, To the Moon Jackass.
Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. To the Moon. What was he, on main roster for 10 minutes? I haven't seen him in months.
I can't stand Cameron
Grimes.
Yeah,
get him out of there.
Good.
Had that
Lord.
One match with Baron Corbin, everybody was like, he finna be a star. Yeah, don't count on that so much.
He's very obnoxious. A lot of my friends are like, oh, you need to see his indie stuff. I'm like, no, I don't. I need to see what he's doing now, and it sucks. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff here I got, so let me try and run through some of the smaller stories. Edge potentially retiring. I know that it was kind of like a whole Grayson Waller to set up the match, but he's also done interviews where he talks about potentially coming. Mm-hmm. His time is coming. So he might be retiring soon. Grayson Waller, I put here, is getting a huge push, as we talked about already. This I'm going to move over here to the SummerSlam because I forgot about that. But Shayna Baszler deserves a shout-out for the promo of her entire life against Ronda Rousey the other night. Holy shit.
She apologized to the audience for bringing Ronda into wrestling. I said, damn.
It was pretty amazing.
I said,
that was pretty
damn.
And I felt bad for Ronda because she still was not good on the mic, even defending herself.
No, dude. It was great, though. I'm glad that WWE's not trying to push Ronda as the face in this scenario. I like that Shayna is a face here, but in an aggressive way, you know? Amazing promo.
Look at all Hands the shit off. We've seen Shayna Baszler go through. Tag team titles with Nia Jax, all this other different shit. After being a monster in NXT,
yep.
came up and they were just like, we don't, Vince didn't really know what to do with it.
Where are your eyebrows? Yeah, I don't know.
Where are that smoky eye thing consistently?
Yeah. So yeah, I wanted to give her a shout out for that. Alpha Academy deserves a shout out for turning around this whole, speaking of LA Knight, the whole debacle with Maxxine Dupri and the Maximum Male Models. Like they fucked it all up, but they figured it out at the end. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? LA Knight's away doing his thing, blowing up, and Maxxine is actually part of the Alpha Academy doing crazy moves and winning matches. So.
So they figured it out for 50% of Maximum Male Models. The
yeah,
two,
the other two guys are... Yeah,
they're gone.
Because I think Mansoor is injured.
Mansoor is injured, and the other guy who...
How dare you, Mansoor?
Massey or Dio Madden. Listen, I'm not calling him nothing. No.
Rhea Ripley's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, he should be not in the main event picture, but he should be in the U.S. title picture already.
Remember when he got F5 by Brock on Raw when he was at the desk and we all thought that was going to be a rub he was about to get? And that led to nothing.
Well, that was the other... What's his other... The guy who used to also be with the match.
Oh, you're talking about Dijakovic?
Yeah, Dijakovic. Mm-hmm. He's another one. What are they doing?
Well, no, he's in NXT now.
I know, but what are they doing? Oh, bring him back.
I think somebody learned, and this is going to sound fucked up to say, and a lot of people going to hate to hear this, that Dijakovic was only good with Keith Lee.
I don't think so.
That's what it felt like.
I was watching him on the last pay-per-view. I think he lost, but he had a great fucking match with Wesley.
He had a great match, but it's like, I guess because... The size difference. It was just something about what him and Keith were doing as two massive dudes. They were loving. Yeah. And it's just like they don't care, fortunately.
Well, his match with Ilya Dragunov was incredible, but that's because...
That's the match I'm talking about.
Yeah, Dragunov. Yes, yes.
But that's because Dragunov's a maniac, and he needs to be in the main roster destroying people or just feuding with Gunther for the next year and a half.
Just to watch them beat the shit out of each other?
I'm good with that, yes, please. I'm the guy that wants to see Ishii and Suzuki chop each other for the rest of time, so...
Speaking of Gunther, such a big turnaround on my part. I'm a big fan of the Imperium entrance.
Buddy.
Now.
Thank you, Samantha Irwin. I think it's mainly due to Samantha Irwin.
Yeah, she's a big part of it, but also just the music. The music's great.
The little jacket when he's
I was just saying, twirl with the jacket. move this with it.
So good.
Triple H understands the value of
entrance. There's this thing happening with a group in WWE called Imperium.
I've heard of him.
His favorite group. He's buying the shirt tomorrow.
I mean, I'll check it out.
And then finally, I mean, I put here TJD is breaking up, but this is before I saw Raw. They apparently made amends on Raw tonight and, talked it out and had a good ending to Raw.
Break them up.
No.
Well, no. So you've heard what the internet wants.
Bray.
Take out. No, that's one.
Ooh.
Bray to come back into them, but he still isn't medically cleared. But somebody says swap out Finn for JD McDonagh.
Guy needs to be done with JD McDonagh. I don't see any purpose for him. I think he's going to do the same nonsense, the same nothing that To the Moon is doing. I don't see any value in that guy at all. He's a great wrestler. He's not fitting in here. I saw him against Dolph Ziggler. I was like, Dolph carried that.
You know what? It's a thing about that's the difference. One of the biggest differences with AEW and WWE. Guys and girls who are great wrestlers, just in ring talent alone, AEW you can shine.
Yeah.
You gotta have a personality.
Yeah,
you gotta be somebody that can come out through a camera for WWE.
And that's why I think there's a big difference between wrestler AEW and superstar WWE.
Yes, yes, I agree. Yep. I definitely agree with that shit.
Well, I mean, we'll see. JD is, his initials are like part of the Judgment Day. Judgment Day, JD. I mean, it makes sense.
That'd be the reason.
That's a Vince McMahon reason to
That'd
bring him in
both
for
Vince
sure.
McMahon shit. What are you going to say?
Hell's in this JD. It's right there. It's in the next.
It's Judgment Day. That's been his whole thing the whole time. He was just down there waiting.
But we were talking about it. I'd love to see Finn win the world title, but I want him to hold on to it. I like the breakup with the money cash in, but give it some time. Give it like 6 months, you know? Have like right near the end of the year where Priest is like, well, I got to do something with this fucking suitcase, so let's go. And he takes
him
out.
But do you have him set up a regular match, or do you have him cash in like a Money in the Bank cash in should be?
No, it should be a cash in.
No, but like Finn is right now still Judgment Day, so he's still kind of heel. I think if he loses the title and gets it stolen by Damian Priest, he can then chase it as a babyface.
He can chase it as a babyface.
And have a good run until he gets it. Then as a bigger run, he could headline WrestleMania next year if they give him time.
That's a good point.
That's a good point. I like
that.
I think that's the moment he needs. I think he needs a WrestleMania moment. I do think they're going to still try for Roman Cody, pending everyone's health is okay. But they still have a title for him to go after on Raw, so it's fine.
Yeah, but do you want to go to WrestleMania in Philadelphia?
Nobody does. That's fair.
Yeah, nobody does. But the whole Triple H said it. We're not doing nothing but football stadiums now for fucking WrestleMania.
There's a lot of football stadiums outside the state and city of Philadelphia.
There's very true. We always go back to MetLife when it was threatening to snow that day.
Wait, we spoke about this last week. What do you think about the Cena promo in London where it was like, guys, calm the fuck down with the language so we could bring WrestleMania here?
Look. First of all, Cena had to be just natural for once. I think it was dope. But for them to do, I think it's going to be interesting to do WrestleMania outside of the U.S. If they do it.
I mean, they've done it before. They didn't at the...
But that was like 3 and 4.
Oh, yeah.
That was so long. We've now, like, WrestleMania is in the States. It's in these big-ass fields, these big-ass stadiums and arenas. But it's like, if they go the Wembley or the O2, because they're not going to do Wembley. Because they're like, well, we just do O2. They'll do Wembley. But I mean, I think just to show up Tony Khan, I feel like that's why.
They will absolutely do Wembley. They'll sell it out quicker. They won't have the rumors about WWE buying half the tickets, which is what Tony Khan's sort of battling back on now. The 50% of the tickets up front were bought.
You don't think WWE does that shit too?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen WWE empty.
They give away tickets all the time.
Yeah.
How do you think I ended up in the St. Jude section of WrestleMania?
Oh, make a wish skate over here.
It's literally me and all of John Cena's kids. And I made the kid next to me cry when he asked me who's going to win between Cody and Roman. I'm like, whoever the writers want, kid.
How dare you? You just told that kid Santa Claus is not real.
I mean, I didn't realize who I was talking to originally.
A make-a-wish kid, yeah.
Do you realize Shorty was his last thing he was ever...
All I want to do is go to WrestleMania. Get real, kid.
You're not going to make a kid, literally.
You got a free ticket. So did I, actually. So let me go get some weenies.
All right, but before we jump into AEW, we are on the road to SummerSlam. There are 8 matches that are potentially confirmed for this lineup already. We're still a month away, and there's still a bunch of names that are not on the card already with 8 matches. We've got Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez.
I'm sorry. Look, somebody gonna be mad at me for that one. Look,
it's a dumb match because she's tag champ. She doesn't need to win the match. She's not going to win
the
match.
She's not going to.
So it's kind of pointless. Ricochet versus Logan Paul. I mean, that's going to happen.
That's going to be, look, if you won't just clips, that's what that match is.
Dude, even the clip of them fighting backstage was really good. It looked
real.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey versus Shayna, obviously, as we discussed earlier.
Bye-bye, Ronda.
Yeah. That was a good Trump.
Bye-bye, Ronda.
A black Trump. I've seen it all now.
Gunther versus Drew McIntyre, which I expressed last week, I'm not excited about because Gunther already beat McIntyre and Sheamus at the same time at WrestleMania. So this is stupid.
Now this is a new Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. He's no longer wearing the weird shirt with him fighting a dragon. Awesome. Roman versus Jey Uso, which I'm excited for. Asuka versus Bianca Belair versus Flair. Maybe.
I couldn't care less about that match.
Yeah, I don't really care either.
Give me Asuka versus Io Sky.
This sounds like 2 hours of bathroom break.
That's what's going to happen. It's going to be that 3-way, and Io's going to cash in.
Yeah, she'll cash in. That'll be the spot. And then you can have Io versus Bayley.
Yeah.
Because you got to set that up anyway.
Becky versus Trish is eventually going to make it onto SummerSlam. Cody versus Brock in whatever stipulation.
Bull rope.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Bull rope.
Yeah. But that's 8 matches, and we're still missing all of Judgment Day, Seth Rollins, the tag champions KO and Sammy. I mean, what the fuck? We talk about AEW having a bloated roster, but we're at that point now where so many stars in WWE are getting over that we're now bloated. How do we get them on the show?
I don't see LA Knight on here, and I'm furious.
That's the other one, LA Knight. Where's LA Knight?
Bray Wyatt. Like, you got to get him in the games. I don't know.
Well, Bray Wyatt could be the big return. So I had this earlier here, but every SummerSlam, there's a big return. Yes. Roman came back from cancer.
Yes.
There's always a big return. So it's either Wyatt.
I like how that was the one we used. Roman back from cancer, Bray Wyatt. Like,
yeah. Sosa thinks that was a work.
That was a work.
The cancer?
Just happen. Like the Cody injury. Just like,
Yeah. He spent weeks talking about how Cody's injury was pain.
Wait, what do you think Roman...
No, that's a joke. That's a joke.
He thinks that was painted on.
You think, oh, yeah, I know. You, I remember you telling me...
They amped it up. I get it. He was injured, but also by the end of the match, some of that was leaking.
So there's a
it was blood.
No, it's not blood. It was not purple blood. He's not an alien.
It was his chesty compressing.
Hey, Cody, you weren't really hurt, fam. They sent you over to hair and makeup. Let's make it look fancy.
I hope we get him as a guest one day.
Cody? And
he'll never admit it.
This is our buddy John.
He'll never admit it, but I would love to sit with you guys and rewatch that match and show you exactly where at the end of the match you see a purple drip coming down.
We got to start a Patreon. That'll be a Patreon episode.
I'm fucking telling you.
We better hurry.
So, look, we're at a point where WWE's got a bloated fucking roster.
But also,
right?
You're talking about this is SummerSlam, right?
Yeah.
This is the one of the big five now.
It's number two, right?
It's number two.
Next to WrestleMania.
Mania, because, yes, it used to be Survivor Series. So now it's Mania, SummerSlam, the Rumble, Survivor Series, Money in the Bank, right? So you're looking at least 4.5 hours. That is not 4.5 hours worth of wrestling you're talking
about. Eight matches?
That is not
Currently, they're at like five, I think, is like what we're looking at on most pay-per-views.
How long do you think Ronda and Shane are getting? 10 tops?
That's true.
How long do you think Raquel and Rhea are getting?
I hope it's not a squash.
They're still not getting probably more than 10, 12. Cody and Brock is not going to go that long, I don't think. What was the other one? Trish and Becky not going super long.
But still, we make fun of it.
And I know people would be mad, be like, why are all the women's matches going shorter? Some of those matches, just even some of the guys' matches, you're just like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Logan Paul and Ricochet, they need 15 minutes just to make spots.
Yeah.
That's it.
A lot of these are palate cleansers in between big matches.
But the thing is, we make fun of AEW for having 15 matches on their pay-per-view. Are we going to do the same for WWE?
Well, no. My problem with the 15 matches on the AEW pay-per-view is it's 15 matches with no story build-up.
None.
That's true.
Here, these are, at least some of them have story build-up. I don't know about Ripley and Raquel. I don't give a shit about that. These at least have story build up, and they're going to build over the next 5 weeks.
Yep.
But I don't. I would replace half of these people with just an LA Knight segment.
Well, wouldn't you? Would you be happy with the LA Knight Stone Cold segment at SummerSlam? Is that enough?
No, I want LA Knight fighting. If we're going to make him a champion, he has to wrestle matches on big events. I would rather Stone Cold give the rub to Grayson Waller, who I think is going to be a huge star within 3 years.
Who does LA Knight work? Because now we have to. You have to literally set it up, right? So if you're looking at the SmackDown roster, who does he wrestle?
If we're looking at the SmackDown roster, I put him up against.
He's an NXT
not Baron,
star
but
now.
I would put him up against the other asshole with Scarlet that has no.
Oh
use.
Jesus Christ! No, not that.
Because I think Killer Cross. You put him up against Cross. LA Knight has a lot to talk about. He can talk about Scarlett. He's going to trash this guy coming in with a stupid entrance. There's a lot that can be done with LA Knight and somebody like Cross.
Okay, that may work. And it's enough to put Cross on TV. Some people can finally be fucking happy and shut the fuck up that Cross is on TV. Because I know some people are like, what did I use?
Nakamura, give him a good wrestling match.
Well, he's on Raw.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Nakamura's on Raw.
Look, I will say my piece about Cross. I feel bad for the guy. I know him. I've met him a couple times. I feel bad because I don't know who he pissed off in the back. But they keep building up these new feuds for him, and he loses every single one of them. It's kind of tough, man. Like, God.
Welcome to the business, Cross.
It's like every time they announce a new feud for him, like, oh, I'm coming for you, AJ Styles. I'm like, well, fuck, you're getting your ass.
I mean, I'm looking at the SmackDown roster now. You put him up again. I mean, this was supposed to be a WrestleMania match when Bray backed out, but you put LA Knight against Bobby Lashley. You put him up against AJ Styles. There's so many people that you could put him up against to just elevate him. Put him up against Grayson Waller. Grayson doesn't have a match right now if he doesn't go against...
I don't think he can. I think he's... Because he's still kind of hurt. That's why they're doing those little segments with him, like the way he's...
Yeah, but he just got it. Didn't he just get thrown around by Cena?
Yeah, he had he took the attitude adjustment. Yeah.
That's an easy bump.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be an exciting SummerSlam, I think. Like I said, we have 8 potential matches and so much more that could be on the card. Let's jump into some AEW stuff for Earl because he's starting to check out. I can see it already.
Kenny Omega.
I'm gonna go ahead right off the bat and say I stand corrected over my judgment last week of MJF and Adam Cole. It's like, oh, they're just throwing people together, they're not doing shit with MJF. I am now number one fan of MJF and Adam Cole as a tag team. That segment that they did in the gym and then the whole birthday thing after their match, I mean, I want more of it. I want a whole movie. Give me an MJF Adam Cole buddy movie.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I'll let you be on your own with that one over there.
Glad you're not in charge of any movies,
dude. Yeah, right. No, I just thought it was really cool. I like that MJF is playing the role of the, you know, like he's trying to be the good guy in the scenario. And he did Hey EW with RJ City and didn't, he was just trying to be, he's like, I just want people to get to know me. Like, what's the, and MJF or RJ was kind of like pushing him, like, come on, hit me with a zinger, call me a, you know, piece of crap and make fun of the city. And he's like, no, I just wanted to, you know, and then he set the sign on fire. But I like that MJF plays these roles because it does build a deeper story. Like, he's an asshole. Everybody hates him. We know that. But look at the MJF CM Punk story. We ended up feeling bad for MJF because he told that story of being the, you know, little Jew boy that was getting bullied and blah, blah, blah. And now we have this, and it's the, he was bullied and he probably never had friends. And this is him trying to have a friend. And it's kind of, it's funny. Even I know. Oh,
I
thought it was fucking hilarious. I mean, obviously he's going to turn on Adam Cole the second he can, and we right. all know this, but I'm all for it. I want to see more and more of it. I thought it was fun. Did you like that segment at all?
Well, they're ripping off one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time in WCW, Lethal Lottery.
Yep.
Where you had, it's crazy that Sting is still wrestling and Abdullah the Butcher's in a wheelchair, but they were enemies. No, I'm serious.
I'm just saying that was the way you just...
But, like, they were mortal enemies, and then they're in a tag... they're a tag team, and then you had the Freebirds on opposite sides. Mm. So I... And it was very memorable. You had the Garvins against each other. So I'm a fan. I mean, Darby and Orange Cassidy, they weren't really enemies. So I don't, you know, I like it. I think there's some interesting pairings that could happen still. You know, Big Bill and
Brian Cage. Yeah, I put it here. That was a good pairing. The two big guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We haven't really had a big guy team like that in a while.
And one big dude just decides he wants to still fly and do everything that a small dude does, and you got Big Bill like, I'm not doing none of this shit.
So I like it. I think there's some room. I mean, this is where I wish they had creative writers who could mix the tags. You know, I know. Yeah,
this is what we all talk about. Having the creative helps out a lot.
Yeah.
You could have. I bet you Tony Khan has no idea what Lethal Lottery was. And someone, hey, you know, they did this in WCW.
I don't know.
I will bet Sting pitched it in a meeting. Stinger Jericho.
Sting probably more than, again, Sting probably pitched it for sure.
Stinger Jericho.
Tony Khan was probably like, what's Lethal Lottery?
No, dude.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. He definitely didn't know what it was.
I disagree. Tony's like a huge nerd, man. Know, he's probably seen every second.
I don't know if he knew that far back, though.
Like, that's because that's 91.
Yeah, I don't know if Tony knew like that far back.
And I think the whole, because it was just one pay-per-view, it's all on YouTube. It's amazing. Like, Bischoff was a great heel commentator, and Schiavone, who's still there. Like, it's crazy.
Is it on Peacock? Is it on the network? Can I watch it?
I just watched it on YouTube. It's free. Don't worry about it. It's kind of
Eddie likes to support the streamers.
Mr. Russian website man over here.
Hey, man, you know, put out better product and then I'll pay for it.
I do feel the same.
It's $10 a month.
Okay.
No, I have Peacock.
Okay. There go any WWE.
I'm talking about AEW. I watch Dynamite on Russian streams for sure.
I will say, though, are we going to talk about Collision?
Yeah.
Collision's killing it.
I didn't see that. I was in.
Well, it's killing it product-wise. The product's good, but the numbers are not killing.
No, 100%.
Yeah, it's like, what would I don't know. I understand it was supposed, that's the show for CM Punk, right? But I don't know what they thought dropping a show on a Saturday in the summer was going to do.
Yeah, not good planning.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be very long before we see Collision on Friday nights and the other one on Saturday.
Maybe Rampage on Saturday.
Rampage on Saturday.
Which, again, why do you have a third? Look, WWE, some people going to be like, well, WWE is Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, but NXT is its own brand, right? Collision, Rampage, and Dynamite are pretty much the same thing to split up. Collision on Saturday is the worst decision ever for the summer. People are out. They don't care.
It's a graveyard. It's a graveyard slot.
And college football coming up.
And college football's coming back.
They're going to have to move it, and then they're going to have to figure out how to get another song because they got the stupid Elton John song for the Saturday night's good night.
Honestly, if they were smart, they would swap what WWE's doing, and their three-hour show would be Friday night. Get rid of Rampage completely and have Collision and Rampage.
Dynamite.
Be one, no, you mean Rampage. Collision and Rampage.
Yeah, yeah.
Be
yeah.
one three-hour show yeah. that competes yeah. with SmackDown. Just,
I'm into
just put it up against them. I mean, they're going to get killed because of the bloodline on SmackDown, but...
But just TNT won.
Yeah.
A three-hour wrestling show on a Friday night.
Do it an hour later so that you run a little later than SmackDown. I don't yeah. know. Whatever. The fuck.
Yeah.
And then hit up Mike Patton and fucking license the song Collision by Faith No More. It makes more sense, you idiots. Hire somebody for your music team like me. Anyway, moving along.
Just don't hire him for creative with an Adam Cole yes. movie.
Yeah, yeah. Hit up Earl for creative. You'll have Got Kamala on right. every segment.
Yeah, but Earl is just be Kenny Earl. Omega doing everything every second. Oh. It'll be the Kenny Omega show nonstop.
Kenny and Ospreay in every
Why
segment.
Is, Kenny Omega in every match tonight.
Kenny Omega has pulled triple duty in the first segment. What?
Yeah. I mean, I can watch him and Ospreay wrestle 10 matches, like,
yeah,
and then Ospreay just disappears again to New Japan. Like, there's no story, there's no explanation,
which is why they need a creative. But you know, you got to go, just Ospreay Omega. I mean,
Earl's first pitch meeting. Listen, guys, I know this is going to sound crazy. We buy the likeness rights for the AI of Kamala.
Yeah.
We insert him into every match.
He can be he officiates Billy and Chuck's wedding.
No.
No.
We have Hobbs gain weight. We
put oh, no.
What the fuck are you on?
Oh, no.
We slap a moon on his belly, and he's Kamala's long-lost son.
Oh, my God.
Someone, I mean, you
well,
don't think...
let him be jacked. He could be jacked.
You don't think Kamala squirted in 1,000 women from Florida to L.A. and back? The fucking truck driver the last couple of years of his life. Probably just a semen stain at every truck stop from here to fucking Mississippi. It's believable. What? When Paul White debuted, he was Andre the Giant's kid.
Yeah, but they didn't have to make him gain weight with that.
Well, Hobbs, you want a TV spot or not?
Oh, my God.
Good fucking.
You wouldn't. Why did you cast the couch, Hobbs?
We'll get a
you want this job or not, kid?
That's what I do. You want a Matt Johnson to take the gig? He doesn't worry. He's available. Oh.
Speaking of Hobbs, he finally turned on QTV this week, which is cool. I'm glad that the storyline paid off because the storyline kind of sucked. So I'm just glad that the payoff was he gets to beat up everybody in QTV, QT Marshall and the porn star blonde girl.
I like her.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Of course.
I don't know her name. Yeah,
I like her.
I didn't even know she had a head the first segment.
Jesus, Earl.
My wife walked in when there was that chick, and she was laying in bed with Hobbs, and they were reading a book. The Book of Hobbs. And she's like, are you watching porn? What the fuck is this? I'm like, yeah. No. I kind of wish I was.
I do like QT as a heel. Like, mm-hmm. It's like that second or third dairy heel. You know, he's funny. Like, he's a good bad guy.
Yeah, no, he's got a school. Like, he's a good wrestler.
He's a good trader, everything. Yeah,
he's a good hand.
Dude knows what he's doing yeah. in his business.
We also got to see Scorpio Sky finally fucking wrestle a match on television. Congratulations to Sky. I mean, goddamn, it's been a while. He's been healthy for months.
You said it's Collision, by the way. Could have been worse. Could have been ROH.
Right. He could have gone straight to ROH. But he beat up Action Andretti, which, you know, we thought after that Jericho win that he was going to be the next top star. But nope.
Eddie, creative. You need to have one.
Yeah. Well,
Hey, listen, anybody at AEW wants somebody to create, I'm willing to sit in meetings. Me and Earl, we can do, and Eddie, we can all do this. Because, like,
It ain't that hard.
No, because all you need to say, listen, who do you want your champs to be? Who do you want your stars to be?
100%.
Right? So do you want to wait 6 months to get them there or a year to get them there? And then you write out the storylines from there. And then you have your alternates just in case somebody get hurt. So what do? I want Sting to be a star. All right, we need 7 alternates because Sting going to be hurt somehow, some way.
He's pretty durable, you know. Knocked out 15th, he didn't fucking skip a beat.
Yeah.
What is the insurance plan?
They just have a casket waiting in the back.
In case of emergencies.
But, I mean, they need, like, we're fans, but we're, I think, normal fans. Like, we're not saying make Sting champion.
Right. We're not saying anything crazy and off the wall.
Like, Tony Khan needs a wall to bounce his wackiness off of. Because right now, he's no different than us other than a few billion dollars.
A few billion. You know, I don't know if he's going to be zeros, a few billion.
I'm rich, and he makes me look poor. So, but he's a fan with money.
Yeah.
So he needs... That's why I liked Regal there, because I think Regal was a...
Was a good balance in like, hey, this is what we need to do, the story.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, when Regal was there, the Blackpool Combat Club made sense. But next story.
Yeah, him turning on Blackpool, like...
Before he leaves was...
Zero sense.
Well, I'm waiting for that little agreement to be over where he can't be on WWE TV for right now.
Yeah, there's a time clause on that for sure.
Yeah.
It's got to be a 90 days. He can't have a longer.
He can help some people. He could go with Shayna Baszler and fucking take the mic away and just be like really get her over. He could do something similar in WWE. He could help a lot of young people if he could just be on the mic for them.
Well, his son, dude. He could get his son over. I mean, that's why he went back because he wanted to work with his kid in NXT. So I'd be down to see that.
Oh, yeah. He was telling us that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was that young kid debuting, Wayne.
Nick Wayne. That's Darby's Buddy Wayne's son. He's debuting soon against Swerve.
Wednesday, yeah.
Swerve. He's going to get murdered.
18.
He's going to get murdered by Swerve. I'm sorry, dude. But
well, don't you think it would be better if he beats Swerve, like give him instant credibility? It's not going to hurt Swerve.
It's going to hurt Swerve.
It'll hurt Swerve.
Dude, he can't.
It'll definitely hurt Swerve. You know, we all collectively.
We're all on the same page.
It'll definitely hurt Swerve.
But how over would this kid? No one knows who this kid is.
Have him have a great match against Swerve.
And then still lose.
But loses.
That's what you do. You have, let him have a great match. Tell Swerve, let this kid shine. Let him get a lot of shit in. When he gets his shit in, it's got to count. Yeah. It's got to look good. Yeah. And then you still do the job. Swerve still is high up, and then now the kid's over.
Yeah, and Swerve's a good buddy of his. They're all from Defy. Him, Darby, and Nick, they're all wrestled in Defy before, so they want to get the kid over, but it wouldn't make sense to have Swerve lose that match. It would hurt too much. Some other stuff in AEW, talking about the Lethal Lottery. Matt Hardy, they had that awesome segment with RJ City where he ran the number, like the what do you call that thing?
The spinning
lottery thing.
Roulette.
And pulled out, he's like, your tag partner is Jeff. He's like, oh, my brother? He's like, no, Jarrett. I'm like, oh,
God. I mean, they could do a little better. Like, it's so obvious that those are blank, like, sheets. Like, at least have something written.
Just
on
have
them.
Bullshit typed on them. It don't even have to look.
Oh, I didn't see that. Is it visibly just blank?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's visibly blank.
I mean, even I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm an AEW supermarket, and even you could do a little.
An intern.
Have one in your hand.
Actually, you know, that's just the difference in time. If this were a few years back, it'd be filled with jokes to try and get them to pop.
Yes. Yeah.
It'd be ribs, you know
what
I mean?
But I would still be cool with that. And by the way, shout out to Jeff Jarrett. Jeff's the homie. Jeff was like, I'm going to take this run. I'm going to look as great as I've ever fucking looked.
Hey, he looks amazing.
He looks amazing.
I love it.
In person. I saw him at the Flair Roast at an autograph thing. And he looks much more impressive in person than on TV. Like, I don't know why that is.
Yeah, he was trying to get another run in the ring when he was with WWE. Vince was like, we're not putting you out there.
No.
But he's got that little, you know, I'm a huge Jay Lethal guy. So, and Satnam Singh, who I think is untapped. You know, apparently he doesn't know his own strength, so that's why he's not in that many matches out of fear of killing.
That is terrifying!
Yeah, he's a 7-foot guy. Hey, let me throw you.
Because I asked Jay Lethal, I'm like, hey, he's legit 7-foot.
Right.
And he's like, oh, he doesn't know that, you know, when you give someone a power bomb, you just let them go so they fall on their own. He actually gives the power bomb.
So we see it again.
He's trying to see it.
Jesus.
Did you see that one where he power bombed Brian Pillman?
Pillman hits his head on the cage and is unconscious. And Sid's like, I'm going to give you another one just for good measure.
Just to wake you back up.
That's insane.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Sid Vicious, man. I don't give a fuck if he's like softball or not. When he joined the Four Horsemen, it's the greatest debut I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so the reason I brought up the Matt Hardy and Jeff Jarrett segment also is at the end of the match, there's some shenanigans, but Ethan Page came in for the save, and apparently Ethan Page is a face now. Which, you know what, though? Fine. He's such a sweetheart off camera that I couldn't take him seriously as a heel anyway, right?
I mean, yeah, there's going to be people. Once you get to the point where we are, we've got to know a lot of wrestlers in person, right?
Yeah.
So you know who they are outside of these personalities. So when you see him be a heel, you're like, oh, you got a puppy you want to kiss in the mouth. Stop.
Yeah. That's how I feel. That's how I felt about Ethan Page. So I'm like, fine. I'm okay with him being a babyface. But this whole thing is just, I don't understand what Matt Hardy is doing with all of this.
Creative team.
Yeah. Oh, man. Other things that happened. I wanted to give a shout out to Eddie Kingston. Congratulations to winning the New Japan Strong title. I know how much that means to him, so that's amazing. So, fuck yeah. I'm very happy about that. We're almost done.
Are we doing Blood and Guts? Because there's big news.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. CM Punk finally beat Samoa Joe after 20 years.
I'm with you, Jay.
Man, you really are the best in the world. Ugh. Took you 20 years to beat Joe now that he's all torn down. And
you mean Sweet Tooth? CM Punk beat Sweet
Tooth. Yeah, they did him so rough with fucking Will Arnett taking over the voice.
Oh, man, I was like, yo, just let him have a voice.
Welcome to the business. Thanks.
But yeah, anyway, that happened. Now we get CM Punk versus Ricky Starks in the finals of the
Owen Hart tournament.
All right. Anyway, moving along.
That Owen Hart tournament is still going on?
Yep.
Yes.
And the finals
like
are
year three.
Yeah. CM Punk versus Ricky Starks. Aren't you stoked for that match?
And I'm happy that it seems like CM Punk is not going to win, and he's going to maybe give the rub.
What if he wins it?
He's absolutely winning.
There's no way he's winning the Owen Hart tournament.
Shit. We're talking about Tony Khan. We're talking about Tony Khan and CM Punk. He is absolutely winning that tournament.
I would bet money on that.
Here's why. Let me give you some context as to why. He pitched himself to be, you know, so we have Blood and Guts coming up. And each team, the Elite and the BCC, is missing a member. They're missing their fifth member. We have now heard the rumors and everything, and it makes perfect sense that the fifth member for the Elite will be Kota Ibushi. So I'm very excited to see that.
Golden Lovers in the house.
Hell yeah.
That's going to be pretty epic.
But the fifth man, we don't know, for BCC. The rumor was that CM Punk pitched himself to be the fifth man for
that
the BCC.
Sounds about right.
But that would be amazing. Like, I know he's a dick.
No, that's to get that heat to start that feud with them would be perfect.
Yeah, it'd be perfect. Both teams said no.
Go to London.
Both teams said,
But how do we know that? I could imagine the Elite would be like,
I know some of those dudes.
I'm fairly convinced Tony's feeding news to these dirt sheets.
It doesn't
try to deny it, but like I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't see it impossible that CM Punk pitched himself because of course he wants to make amends. He wants to make his paycheck because otherwise he has no paycheck. So he has to figure out a way to make this work. And yeah, both teams said no. So that's why we got that segment with Jericho and Don Callis at the end. So Don Callis asked Jericho to join his family. So that would be the fifth member, Jericho.
I mean, this is where I wish this was WWE because Vince and Triple H would be like, Omega, Bucks, their fifth member is going to be CM Punk, and this is going to set up London.
Yes, you would.
So I do like, I don't like a lot about WWE.
I think we've all said that, though. Vince would be like, listen, I don't give a shit how much y'all don't like each other. You want to make money? This is going to make all the money.
This is what I'll always respect about Vince. He was a businessman. He didn't care if anybody liked him. Tony Khan wants to be liked.
Yes. Yeah. He took a real feud with Matt Hardy.
I was just going to say, I rewatched that clip recently. Yes. They were brawling.
And it was a great, we still talk about
we
it.
We still talk about it. Vince was like, y'all hate each other. Well, you know what? We're going to make money off this. But that's what the guys in the 80s did. Said, even Nash then was talking about how, yeah, if we didn't like somebody, we understood we don't like each other backstage, but we're going to make this money together.
You think people like the Ultimate Warrior, but they knew there was cash to be made? Say no, it's the truth. No, it's the truth. Everyone hated him.
It was cash to be made working with the Warrior.
But you know what the one time that didn't work out that I was actually pissed because he could have been a huge star is Orton and Kennedy. They supposedly hated each other, and that's why Kennedy got fired. And I would have been like, that would have been a way to make Kennedy a star and make money for everybody.
Just make nonstop money.
Well, on that one, I don't think Orton... I could see him being talked into working with Kennedy, but I don't think he trusted Kennedy in the ring. Like, because he almost broke his neck.
He almost broke his neck. He didn't, and the whole thing with Cena, because I don't think Cena liked him either. Yeah. But there was so many people who didn't like, but I've talked to him, and I've got a bunch of people like, he's a good dude.
Well, look,
I mean,
man.
He's dangerous. I mean, Warrior was not dangerous in the ring because you knew he had three moves, so you could prepare for it. Stinger, my all-time faves.
Yeah.
Kamala's up there as well, but like
Earl likes guys in makeup.
I love big sweaty guys in makeup.
Legion of Doom tattoos on his nipples.
But like you can't get really hurt from a gorilla press slam. But Kennedy was reckless. Like, you know, that's why I don't think anyone really wanted to work with him.
Well, look, man, if AEW makes that match and CM Punk ends up being the fifth man for the BCC,
be huge.
I'll take my fucking clothes off. I'll fucking applaud and bow Tony Khan. I just don't see it happening.
Wait, you going to applaud and bow to Tony Khan butt-ass naked is what you're saying?
That's please, right.
Tony Why do you Khan. Think that's something people would want?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying.
If that's what you do when you're happy, right? What the fuck are you doing if it doesn't happen?
Hey, you don't take your clothes off when you're happy? What the fuck? No! You should. It's fun. Well, it's liberating.
There's a girl in the room.
That's right! Thank you, Earl. Thank you. No, I'm just saying, look, if it happens, I will give all the mad respect and love to Tony Khan for finally pulling the trigger on it. I just don't see it happening. I think we'll see Jericho in there, and it's not going to be as exciting as we want it to be.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that's the dilemma, like we were saying, with Tony Khan. He's just a fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's not a businessman. He's a fan.
He's a guy who has human action figures, and that's it.
Yeah.
So do I.
I tell everybody this. He has all his toys and the money to play with.
Them. Yeah.
Yep.
That's how he operates.
And that's fine. And I think a lot of the people that went to AEW thought they would have more control. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case. You can't let the inmates run the asylum. Vince wouldn't do it. Triple H won't do it. Triple H is more likely to listen to the fans than Vince, which is why I think LA Knight's going to be in a good place. But yeah, Tony Khan just wants the wrestlers to like him.
Yeah.
But you need someone who he respects. Like Regal was the perfect guy, but someone like a Regal would be like, Omega.
You got fucking Dean Malenko. You got all these people in the back. You got Henry, all these people, Big Show, everybody back there that knows that they all have this experience of what moves and elevates a product. And so Tony is just like, no, this is what I want to do. And it's like, okay, we get that. Yes, you have some ideas, but let's improve on these. You don't just shit his ideas away because that's what's going to hurt him. You don't say no. It's like, all right, nice, but let's improve on it this way.
Yeah.
This way he's heard, but you're adding to it.
Yeah, Billy Gunn, for example, someone who was hot during the Attitude Era, the best time in pro wrestling, mm-hmm. and is still relevant. The guy knows what he's doing because he's still relevant all these years later. Why not ask him a couple questions?
You need a historian to go, Tony, this is what happened in the mid-80s or mid-90s or whatever. This is how we could implement that now.
I mean, you have fucking Christian there, too.
Yeah.
Christian, I would have him in the back office. He would be my Triple H if I was Tony Khan.
But you need someone like Omega, the Bucks, CM Punk, an older dude, I'm assuming in his 60s, who they respect and would listen to. I don't think Omega's going to sit there and listen to Christian and go, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe he will. I don't know. But like,
shout out to Michael Cole for name-dropping Christian during the Edge and Grayson Waller match.
Yep.
It's a good time to be a wrestling fan. That's all.
It is
very much
fantasy booking everything. There's a lot going on. There's going to be more as we get closer to Blood and Guts and as we get closer to SummerSlam. So make sure to tune in next week for some more wrestling stuff. Mr. Jay Washington, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, fellas. I had a fucking blast with y'all, man.
Tell everybody right here.
Yo, check me out. Find me on TikTok and Instagram at Mr. J Washington, M-R-J-A-Y. You should know how to spell Washington. You heard it mentioned, because some people don't fucking know how to spell. You heard it mentioned before. Check out the BBC Club podcast. That's the Black Boy Content Club podcast. Myself, Moses Prim, and Chris Burns. And check out my nerd shit, the Mad Titan podcast, where I get you caught up on all the things happening in the Marvel and DC live action and cinematic universes. It's barbershop talk for nerds, so come on in the convo.
Sweet. Please, follow Jay, follow me at RRBG Podcast. I have interviews with a bunch of obscure musicians that you probably never heard of, but I'm a big fan of, as well as wrestlers, comedians, and actors, and whoever I can get my hands on. Earl, where can they find you?
ProWrestlingTees.com. If you'd like a shirt with a hole in it, maybe one that's off-centered. By the way, I did buy three shirts from RicFlair.com. I got the three shirts. I'm a fan of two of the three. The long sleeve shirt's a little on the heavy side. It felt like I was wearing sandpaper. So I don't know if Rick made that on a bender, but the two short sleeve shirts, very soft. But that's fucking long sleeves. They're out of control. Like, it feels like I'm wearing barbed wire and wool.
Tune into our companion podcast, Earl Reviews Merch.
Listen, this network has worse podcasts. So
that's very true.
Earl's right back.
That is very true. I'm not gonna deny it.
Well, I love Jay. Jay's one of the funniest fucking dudes in LA comedy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Just had a sold-out show at the Hollywood Improv.
Yeah, so, bringing wrestlers in, which we plan on working on another one, that bringing more pro wrestlers who want to do stand-up comedy. Because I heard of a big name who wants to do it, but they can't try it where they're at. I'll tell you guys off air who wants to do it. And so we're working on trying to get that person
on the
show.
I bet I can guess.
I bet you could.
Just what the world needs, another non-stand-up person coming in to do stand-up.
Of course.
I fucking love it. Piven, bring him. Just get him on. Get him on.
We're riffing with the Piven.
Get him on.
Tom Brady.
Got Piven, Schaub. Just get
Tom
him.
Brady, right?
Isn't Tom he Brady. Just bring them all in. Fuck it. I'm going to start wrestling. I'm going to start acting. So you assholes like it when I infringe on your turf. We'll start roast battle. Oh, wait. Never mind. I already did that.
Whoop. Earl, John.
Heel Earl John has returned.
Heel Earl's back because I know time is limited.
Oh, my God.
Time is limited. Not for me. Time is limited.
All right, John, where do they follow you at, sir?
Say It Ain't Sosis on Instagram, and that's pretty... and. Probably on Threads. Is Threads a thing?
Yeah, we're on Threads now.
Okay. Oh, are we on Threads?
Yeah, I'm on Threads as well.
All right.
Right, yeah, Threads, all of that. Yeah, please follow the show at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram.
Oh, one more announcement. This is going to be the first mention of the announcement.
Oh.
So we do a show at the Comedy Store. It's called Joke Revival. It's run by Jessica Michelle Singleton. She basically, it's comics bring their old joke books and do old jokes. They bring them back. They could try to rework them. I am doing a 5-minute spot. I'm retiring officially from stand-up. I'm doing a 5-minute spot of old material on August 12th in the Belly Room. Tickets are available on the Comedy Store site. This is going to be the last time anyone ever sees me do stand-up.
Hell yeah.
Come. Ask a question?
Yeah.
Oh.
So comics bring old joke books.
Oh, boy.
Right? No, ooh, I'm asking
well,
a question.
Is this going to be a Bobby Lee mention? No. Because he doesn't have old joke books. He's been doing the same jokes.
No, that's that fan Bobby Lee's act.
Okay.
But I have a question.
Yeah.
So comics, the premise of the show is comics bring old joke books.
Yeah.
So what does Piven bring?
Oh, boy.
I'm going to go okay.
All right.
Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram. Stories War on Twitter. We'll see you next week.
You're on Entourage. Love it.